This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
You know, there are moments in true crime that are so bizarre, so stunning in their simplicity, that they freeze frame in your brain. September 19th, 2024, in Whitesburg, Kentucky, is one of those. What happened that day is Sheriff Sean Mickey Steins. He had lunch with a man that he called his friend, Judge Kevin Mullins. They walked back to chambers, just normal old day, a setting reserved for the quiet machinery of justice, and within minutes, Steins pulls a gun and shoots Mullins dead. You know, right after the boneless buffalo wings at the Applebee's. I don't know if that's where they went. I don't know if that's what they had. But that, unfortunately, is the only made-up part of that story. The gun in the chambers, someone being dead, that's all real. And it's on camera. There is no ambiguity about what happened. The question is, why? On the surface, prosecutors say it's cut and dry. It was just one of those murders. You know, the murders where you just walk in and you shoot your friend for no reason and go nuts. When you peel back the layers and suddenly the easy answers vanish, this wasn't some bar fight or an impulsive act on the side of the road. This was a sheriff, the county's highest lawman, calmly walking into the epicenter of power, a place with cameras on the ceiling, fully aware of who was in the room and executing a man he had just had lunch with. Then he surrendered without a fight. Caught up yet? Days earlier, Steins had been deposed in a civil case tied to corruption and misconduct in his county. A case already putting ugly allegations onto the public record. Was this about protecting his reputation? Was it fear? Was it rage? Or was this the final crack in the dam of a man who couldn't reconcile the secrets around him anymore? And then there's the bizarre post-shooting behavior. Reports say on body cam footage, Steins sounded paranoid, even muttering to officers that they were going to kill him. But those same officers treated him calmly, almost gingerly, as if they weren't sure what had just landed in their laps. What do you make of a man who in one breath seems delusional and in the next perfectly compliant? Isn't a case of a heat-of-the-moment scuffle. This is a methodical, calm, was it measured and yet utterly self-destructive act, which makes it one of the strangest crimes we've seen play out in real time. Was this insanity or was this something darker? A sheriff who saw no way out except through violence. That's where we're going to begin today with psychotherapist and author Siobhan Scott, who spent her career breaking down the minds of killers from a psychological standpoint. What does it mean when someone in authority commits violence in the most visible, incriminating way possible in the seat of justice itself?
It's certainly a weird case, which is why everybody's talking about it, because you're right. Obviously, it was more important for him to kill the judge than it was for him to be convicted and in all likelihood go to prison for what he did. So there's a story here, but we don't know what the story is. And so we're left speculating at this point. But what a strange tale with the corruption that seems to go all the way to the top there.
Yeah, and we're going to get into all of that. Let's keep putting some of the clues together and what we know about the actions of the sheriff prior to what we are starting to learn now, because there's a lot of accusations that have come out. We're going to get to that in an interview that Brian Anton of News Nation recently did, blowing open the lid on this community if the accusations are true. Sheriff Steins, right after the shooting, and he was apprehended immediately right there. He sounded paranoid, saying things like, "You're going to kill me," to the other officers. And He was sitting there calmly, and he was being treated very calmly, too. If you watch those videos, the officers aren't up in his face. They aren't screaming at him. They are just as confused and wondering what the hell just happened here. And they are acting seemingly in a measured way. But what is that? The question of "you're going to kill me." More of a statement almost than a question.
The first thing that popped into my head was, he serious? I mean, was this grounded in reality? Did he suspect that things were so out of kilter among everybody in this town that he was really at risk of being killed in jail or something? I mean, I don't know. But yes, it sounds paranoid. And does it rise to the bar of a psychotic disorder? Certainly, I was reviewing the footage that came out recently of the 13 minutes before the shooting. Mm-hmm. And he does not look physically, his body language doesn't look like a person who's psychotically paranoid. He's not agitated. He comes into the room looking very calm, sitting there apparently for most of this time, having a rather calm demeanor in the discussion with the judge. We'd love to know what they were talking about. But it's hard to make sense of this until we get the rest of the story and hear about whatever psychological evaluations he's had since.
I'm glad you watched that, because that's what I was talking about, where he's sitting there, you know, on the bench out in the hallway. Others are interacting with him. I mean, if you were just watching that and didn't know that he just did what he did, what would you be thinking?
It looks normal. Looks normal. I don't think you would ever imagine. I mean, when you see him come into the room and sit there talking with the judge, and he's got his arms behind his head and kind of kicked back and relaxing, this is not the person who's leaning forward and threatening or pointing his finger or doing any of the gestures that we would associate with a person who's really rageful and ready to commit murder and in a paranoid fantasy of some kind. I mean, he looked okay.
Mm-hmm. People act out when being put into a corner. And I don't know if he was being put into a corner. Let me preface that, because there's so much we just don't know yet. But let's just, for theory's sake, say he was being put into a corner. And let's for a moment assume that he had nothing to do with any of these accusations that are flying about. He was just in this ecosystem, and he just did his testimony in the civil case. He's having all this simmer in his mind of these horrible things that are alleged of people he trusts, people he knows. I find it hard to believe that he wasn't aware any of this was going on the way it sounds, but let's just for a second say he didn't know about these sort of things. And if he snapped, would that be insanity? Is that insanity? If all this finally got to him, this deplorable sex ring allegedly that's going on with his friend in these chambers of this community that he patrols, he guards, he's the sheriff. That would, I think, if you didn't know what was going on, would break your heart, would I think could spark you to go very mad and angry at these people who may be perpetrating these things. If that's the case, does he have a case in court?
Well, insanity is a very high bar, and we're basically talking about psychosis. So a person would be having a brain disorder where they're having delusions, hallucinations, distorted thoughts and perceptions, where their thinking is disorganized. And we would hear lots of evidence about that, because generally that happens over time. And I think he would have trouble functioning in his job at all if he were truly insane in a psychotic state like that. So I'm skeptical about meeting that high bar, but that state does allow the defense of extreme emotional distress. Most states don't, but that's sort of the crime of passion, the heat of the moment where somebody becomes so outraged that any of us could imagine being in that situation. Most people under extreme emotional distress do not pick up a gun and go methodically and calmly commit murder. And as you and I have talked before, it's more in those kind of scenarios where somebody walks in and finds their wife in bed with another man, and at that point just has this incredible adrenaline reaction and punches the guy or shoots the guy or something like that. That that would be a better fit for extreme emotional distress. And that wouldn't get him off, but it might get him a lesser charge mm-hmm. and might be a mitigating circumstance when it came to sentencing. So it'll be really interesting to see this play out and to hear the evidence of what do they have to prove mm-hmm. that he was so paranoid or so delusional that this was what caused this.
And we're going to get into that in 1 second. There was one more catalyst to this, and we've talked about it before, but if somebody's just starting to learn about this case, right before he killed him, right before he pulled out the gun and shot him, there was an issue on the cell phones where it was his daughter that was on the cell phone of the judge. A call was made, and shortly thereafter, we don't know what happened on that call, but shortly thereafter, he pulled the trigger on the judge. Mm-hmm. That I don't know. I have zero idea, but that makes me really wonder if he knew about these horrible things that were going on in the town. Did this somehow make its way back to home? Did something happen with his daughter? Did something happen with one of his daughter's friends? Those are all questions that we just don't know. That to me, as a father, I think that would be a hard one. If you know this stuff's going on and you found out this guy did it and you happen to have a gun at your side, it may take, it would take a breath. I would have to walk away very fast because yeah. I think any more interaction, that may get the best of me and go, you're done. I think most fathers would probably feel that way, but we don't know. We just don't know.
Mothers too.
Yes. Without a doubt. Yeah. But we just don't know the answer to that. I'm going to guess. I mean, is there any way that interaction with the daughter and the phone is not a major factor in what happened here?
I can't imagine it not being a major factor. And the other thing, I wonder, did he have knowledge of something? Was he trying to discuss it with the judge, give the opportunity for the judge to, you know, say something that was going to be appeasing in a way, mm-hmm. something apologetic, and he didn't get that. And so that was the final straw for him. That's certainly a possibility because, yeah, I there's got to be meaning in mm-hmm. the phone calls made.
The sheriff in the video, we see it obviously right up into the point where he pulls the trigger. He looks, I don't know. I mean, he doesn't appear to be enraged. It's just, no. it goes from 0 to 100 really, really fast.
Yep.
I mean, when you watch that, and I know you've seen it probably many times now, what do you make of that?
It's really unusual because, again, we would expect somebody who's enraged to be acting differently and showing an aggressive posture. And it's almost like he's too calm and collected and yet methodical at the same time. It's what makes it weird. And I don't know until we get more information how to make sense of it.
When you strip the case down to its bones, what you're left with is still staggering. A sheriff shoots a judge on camera. No chase, no hidden body, no attempt to escape, just violence in its rawest form, delivered in a place designed to symbolize order on camera. And if you're looking for the definition of cognitive dissonance, this might be it. Siobhan gave us something important here, the reminder that insanity, legally and psychologically, is not just stress or paranoia. It's not cracking under pressure alone. It's a sustained disorder, psychosis, delusions, hallucinations. And from what we see of Stein's before that trigger was pulled, calm demeanor, relaxed posture, almost chillingly ordinary. That doesn't scream psychosis. It screams intent. But that doesn't close the door. Not at all, because intent doesn't erase pressure. And you have to wonder what was swirling in his head in those final days. The deposition, the lawsuits, the whispers of corruption, maybe even threats to his own family. When you sit in a pressure cooker long enough, sometimes even a man with a badge decides the only way out is through the unthinkable. The tragedy is this. Whatever drove Sheriff Stein's, it didn't erase the outcome. A judge is dead, a community is gutted, and the question only multiplies. Was this a man protecting himself from exposure, or was this a man consumed by the very corruption he once tried to manage? If you've ever wondered what it looks like when power collapses on itself, you don't need to imagine it. You just need to picture the chambers of Judge Mullins on that September afternoon. Calm conversation, a phone call, and then without warning, a gunshot that changed everything. And we're only at the surface because if the murder was the explosion, what came next was the fallout. Allegations that stretched far beyond one man's office into the lives of women who say they were coerced, humiliated, and trapped in a system where the courthouse wasn't about justice at all, but about exploitation. That's where we go next in our conversation with Siobhan. Be sure to press subscribe so you do not miss it. It's coming up right here. Subscribe on YouTube. If that's where you're watching us, just press that subscribe button. Hit the bell so you don't miss those updates. And if you're listening to us on the podcast platform, same search, Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Find us, take us with you, and you get us wherever you are. Same content, both places, even some extras on their own respective platforms as well. So do check that out so you don't miss anything. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.